Have you ever wanted to burn down your business? This is something I hear a lot when my clients are feeling stressed out, when they're lacking boundaries, or they're just feeling overwhelmed. And I know that I have felt this way at different points in my entrepreneurial journey too. Well, today we're going to be talking about all of these things, specifically burnout, boundary setting, and even a little imposter syndrome thrown in there too. Today's guest is Valerie Haymaker, a relationship and trauma therapist. She's a private practice owner, podcaster, public speaker, and she runs a membership community that's focused on helping individuals recover from issues of burnout. Her concepts help people achieve not just recovery from burnout, but more permanent psychological health, and I know you're going to gather a lot of insight from her today. On today's episode, Valerie dispels common misconceptions about burnout. She shares two ways that burnout tends to show up in entrepreneurs. And spoiler alert, it ties back to establishing and maintaining boundaries and also how we perceive ourselves or define our value as a business owner. Two things that I know many of us struggle with. Valerie provides concrete strategies, tactics, and encouragement today, and I hope you gain a lot from today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof Your Product Resource Library, where we house all of my free content in one place. This includes my Delegating Masterclass, my How to Know If Wholesale is Right for You class, my Booth Blueprint class, and more. And we've got some new things that we'll be adding very soon. To get instant access to this rich resource library, head to ProofToProduct.com/resources. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hi, Valerie. Welcome to Proof to Product.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm excited to chat with you because, you know, it's been a wild 2 years for everyone and burnout, it's appearing to become just a more common struggle that people are going through. So I want to start this off by asking, what are some of the first signs of true burnout?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think burnout, we've all been familiar with this term for a very long time, but I think it's become amplified by the COVID pandemic. And so the way I, as a therapist, have decided to tackle it is to sort of help people recognize signs and symptoms of sort of what I would consider more that like the traditional ways that people feel burned out, like lack of interest, struggles with sleep, sort of like low-grade depression kinds of symptoms, snappiness, shortness of temper, struggles in relationships. But the way that I actually really address burnout issues is I kind of experience that as like those are the symptoms of a much deeper problem. And the much deeper problem oftentimes is has to do with, well, more deep struggles, psychological issues, undealt with trauma issues, struggles with relationships that aren't just maybe me between my boss and myself or me between my partner, but like oftentimes I talk about burnout with burnout recovery with depth is how I market my own platform, which is, yes, I will give you some sort of life hacks if you want to need them, and they probably will help. But if we really want to dig in and really heal our, like at the soul level, this is a longer process than life hacks. And it goes much deeper than I think we sometimes wish it would. We want it to be like a quick fix. But oftentimes, if we really want to heal, it's a process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. It's fascinating because I think you're right. There is this belief, or we hear the word burnout in mass media in conversations, but what you're describing is more of the clinical sense. And I don't think we all know that definition or realize that it's, yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why I think this is emerging and is such a big deal right now is because our coping strategies were ripped from us when the pandemic happened. In other words, what we've always done to not come into contact with the real problems that we, you know, we would do some adaptive things, like we would go out with our friends or we would take a jog or we would do these things that would sort of throw a Band-Aid on top of it. And they were helpful. But I think the COVID pandemic and all of the PTSD that now we're coping with following the pandemic has put us in deeper touch with the fact that, oh, this isn't just that I don't get enough sleep or that I don't tend to like my boss. It's 20 layers deeper. And I think we've been wounded enough by a world crisis that I think some people finally are actually, their strategies, their adaptations have wounded, aren't working anymore, which on the one hand may feel like the bad news, but from my perspective as a professional therapist and coach, I see that as the good news, because we can't heal until we actually stop trying to make the adaptations work that really aren't going to heal us. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, it does. It means that we have to get to the heart of what's truly the problem rather yes. than just pacifying yes. it or putting a Band-Aid across it or whatever it might be. And yes. what you're saying makes complete sense. I know mm-hmm. there's been times where I've felt what I would call burnout and, mm-hmm. you know, we'd take a vacation, we'd go for mm-hmm. a walk, we'd go, you know, hang out with friends. We do these things that relieve that stress for a bit, but ultimately it's not solving the problem. As you say,
it's hard to, yeah, we can't, again, I like a good vacation. I'm a fan of those all day long, but at the end of the day, those are our deeper struggles. They follow us wherever we go. It's kind of, you know, I do marriage counseling in addition to this burnout work that I do. And it's like, well, we can always just sort of change partners and assume that the marriage was the problem. But the fact of the matter is I go with me everywhere I am. So I can change jobs or I can change partners or, you know, I can change, like I can rearrange my life or I can actually go deep within and really look at me, this beautiful thing that is my soul, my life. And as I heal those things and have the courage and vulnerability to look at like what's really going on that I have estranged myself from, then what ends up happening is I may end up needing to leave a relationship or a job, but the fact of the matter is I am a changed person and I am different and I don't carry those things with me wherever I go.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. So our listeners are smaller product-based business owners who often have small teams, or they could be solopreneurs working on their own. For business owners who yeah. are suffering from burnout, but are really core to keeping the business running, yeah. so they can't step out as easily, what advice yeah. do you have?
Yes. Okay. So I have so much to say about this. I actually run a small group of entrepreneurs, of small business owners, and in the corporate world, and they're wildly successful human beings. And so it's been really fun to actually work with them on these very kinds of issues. I became acquainted with this opportunity because of COVID. People were like, "Please help us. I don't know how to handle this new world and manage this wildly changing industry that they, you know, that they're in." And so one of the things that I've worked with them on a lot of things, but I will just talk to you about what we worked on literally yesterday. One thing that we worked on in the small group was the making and keeping of very strong boundaries. And I can go deeper into that. And then the second thing that I talked to them about quite a bit is having to do a little bit of detaching their sense of worth from whatever their last sale was or whatever their measuring stick is in their professional realm.
Yes.
That if I am as worthy as my, whatever, my annual income or my last sale or my last closing or whatever your languaging is, then we are consistently exhausting ourselves because we're using a measuring stick that is constantly going to make us feel like we're not enough. It's a game that cannot be won. And that too, so the boundaries piece and the detaching our worth from our production piece. Those are both huge.
Can we dive into both of those a little more deeply? I am one that struggles with the boundary piece, and I know yeah. many of my students and clients do the same. So what yeah. were you advising your clients?
Yeah, so the way I see boundaries is, and again, this is so great because it's a very collaborative kind of experience that I have with these people that are on, and they're from all over the country. And so it's really, really fun to see that even though they have different markets, that there are nuances that are different, but there's so much that's actually the same.
I bet.
And one of those big pieces is I'm having to compete in my industry with someone, with lots of someone's who don't have boundaries. And we all know as entrepreneurs that we're never done.
Yep.
And so we have to have enough confidence in ourselves and enough, this is actually where these two kind of blend together. I have to become, because I'm an entrepreneur too, right? That's how I think you and I met, is that I have to recognize that I am not my income. I am not my next sale. And that I may enjoy those things and I may even like work hard at those things, but that is not the sole measure of my value or my existence. And so I have to be able to compartmentalize, put those things away, because what I value more is deeper and richer than that, which is the rest of my body, like that I rest my body, that I nurture my relationships, that I feed myself in other ways. And the deal is, and this makes my group members like literally cringe. One of them looked at me and she was like, I don't think I can do it. And I said, and the deal is, you're going to lose a few sales if you choose yourself. And you're going to have to just accept that, or accept that the price that you pay to not lose those sales is going to cost you your peace and your health, your emotional, psychological, spiritual health, whatever you want to call it. It's your choice, but you're choosing it every day. And there is a cost exacted for competing with the folks that don't make those boundaries.
Yes. I'm over here and I feel like my head's about to like fall off because I'm nodding yes with every word you're saying. Yeah, what kind of boundaries then are you encouraging them? I mean, aside from just work time versus personal time and really making time to rest our bodies and nurture the relationships in our life, what other kind of tangible boundaries are you recommending for them?
The biggest one that kind of keeps coming up in the realm that where I do a lot of my personal coaching in the corporate world is with the phone. What kinds of conversations, how accessible you are to your customer or your client. And I was very intrigued, even just, okay, back to the group that I was running yesterday, and I do a lot of individual coaching with these people. So I do group coaching, and then some of them I know quite a bit better because I do individual work with them too. And there's one woman in that group who does an extraordinarily good job. She turns her phone off every night. She just, and she doesn't follow all the rules in terms of how to be competitive and how to wear yourself out trying to make more money. And guess who makes the most money?
Her, right?
This woman. And so I'm listening to all these other women just really hoofing it and working hard and struggling and exhausted. And I'm noticing that like it doesn't even necessarily add up, right? Because the woman who has these boundaries that turns her phone off every night, paradoxically, she knows her clients respect her. They respect her boundaries. She finds the folks who are going to respect her. These become lifelong relationships. I'm not even kidding you. They bring their friends in. They bring their families in. She finds out about weddings and funerals. They have this intimate bond. And I mean that in an appropriate way for the business world, right? They have a bond that surpasses the transaction. And they know one another well enough to respect the lived experiences of each other. That in the evening time, this woman has a partner, she has a family, she has hobbies. And so this is a long-term relationship that although she makes the boundaries, it actually perpetuates more relationship, more success. And interestingly, you know, more success professionally. It's very, very paradoxical though, but she has to have a lot of courage to set those up from the gate. And then the second thing I would say that she has learned that I think the other women and other members are learning as well, slowly but surely, is if you don't make boundaries, people pick up on that very, very quickly, and they will continue to exploit you because you have invited them to do that.
Yeah. They follow your lead, right?
For sure. Yeah. They recognize that this must not be this. If I can call you at 10 o'clock tonight and you pick up and do whatever I need, I might call you at 10:30 tomorrow night because, well, you didn't seem to mind, you know. And we've set up this, and that's where it's a leadership principle as entrepreneurs that we are self-respecting enough that we respect ourselves and give our clients the gift of what we want this relationship to look like. And 9 times out of 10, if there's someone you want to be in relationship with anyways, they'll respect that. And if they don't, guess what? We don't really want to be in relationship with them anyways. That would be called toxic.
Yeah.
Not a healthy, you know, if somebody's going to push that and betray that or not respect that.
Okay, for anyone listening that maybe has had loose boundaries and they've gotten themselves mm-hmm. into a position where they haven't held the line and, you yeah. know, they have responded to emails late at night, or they've said yes to deals that weren't really advantageous to them, or whatever, you know, they've had loose boundaries. How do yeah. we recover from that and yeah. tighten the ship, so to speak?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think it's tricky, right? With already existing clients.
Yeah.
Is I think one of two things needs to happen. You could kind of, I think you could argue for finishing the transaction as is and then starting your new relationships differently. I think mm-hmm. you could make an argument for that, unless of course there's like really big issues of being taken advantage of. Or I think you could argue that you could even just say to your clients, you know, I haven't done well by you because I have not been making boundaries and keeping them, and it's exhausting me. And when it exhausts me, I can't actually serve you well. And so this is about my work, not about you. You have done nothing wrong because I have actually invited you in to my struggles with boundaries. And now I'm doing some personal work that you get to be witnessing and participating in because I haven't set good boundaries and I'm going to start doing that now. So it's not about you. You've done nothing wrong. But moving forward, I'm really not going to be picking up my phone after 6 o'clock at night or whatever the case may be. But really be very, very open and explicit about personal work and taking ownership ourselves of our own struggles that we've had with boundaries. And it's actually in the service of the relationship.
Yeah. There were two things that I noticed as you were talking there. Mm-hmm. One, being explicit about what changes are coming forth. So yes. I will not be picking up my phone after 10:30, or I will mm-hmm. not be responding to emails on the weekend, or whatever it might be in yes. our listeners' yeah. situation. And the second thing I want to point out for our listeners is you did not apologize
right.
in that. Yes. And I think that can sometimes, especially as women, be our tendency to go to that apology but
yeah.
you're making it about, this is going to be beneficial to both of us and our working yes. relationship and the quality of the work that we come out with at the end.
Beautifully said, Katie. And I think one of the things that one of the participants in my group setting has said to me that she has said to her clients is, I need to be, I'm offering you my experience of having these boundaries, because if I don't do this with you, I will not represent you well to anybody else. In other words, mm-hmm. if I break boundaries with you, I'm going to break boundaries with other people, and that ultimately will hurt our transaction in the corporate world. And she said, and she's languaging this for the other group members, and they were all like, their jaws were dropping, and they're like, oh, that's really beautiful, because the clients at the end of the day, they want the transaction to go well. And so she's modeling in this case that like, I am advocating for you by my being a more psychologically strong person and creating this boundary, because it will actually help you as I represent you in this professional transaction.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this about me. I have 4 children and I'm constantly mm-hmm. telling them if mom is not okay and, you know, sound and has the space mm-hmm. to do the things I need to do, I'm not the best for you. And like, yes. I'm not the best for dad and our marriage, and I'm not the best for my yes. clients. So like, I know that's a bit of a sideways look
makes
at this,
sense, though.
But it's the same thing. And I just want to yes. point out all these different relationships rely on us to take care of our own selves and hold those own boundaries. Okay, let's switch over. You said the second one was like having our value wrapped up so much in the transactions or the successes mm-hmm. or the sales or kind of the wins that we might have in our business life. Talk more mm-hmm. about that if you don't mind.
Well, yeah. So I think this is one, it's all nuanced and it's all tricky, right? Because it would be foolish, I think, to say, okay, you as entrepreneurs, you shouldn't care about the bottom line. That would be ridiculous. Of course we care about right. the bottom line.
Yes,
and
we
yet
do.
At the same time, yeah. And yet at the same time, there's a paradox at play here, which is that, to the extent that I have a bigger, deeper, richer purpose in the thing that I do, will I be able to serve these people better? Mm-hmm. And so for someone who's in sort of a, maybe if you would, you're going to be putting me on the spot here a little bit, but give me an example of somebody in your world that runs a product-based business. And I want to just see if I can kind of work around that and make sense of it from this perspective.
Like describe who they are as a person?
Yeah,
or as
like
a
business owner? what product are they selling, or what is the thing that they do?
Sure.
Just give me an example.
Yeah. Sure. So we've got people making all sorts of products. We have a large mm-hmm. contingency of people that make greeting cards, for example, because that's where my background is. So mm-hmm. they make greeting cards. They sell them to online to the end consumer, mm-hmm. like you or I, that's going to send them to a friend or a mom or mm-hmm. parent or whomever. Mm-hmm. They sell them wholesale. So they also work with stores. So it's a B2B mm-hmm. relationship there. They're artists and creatives. So mm-hmm. they want to have that flow of creativity, but at the same yes. time, they know they need to wear that business hat. Yeah. And, you know, look at their numbers and make decisions that mm-hmm. way. Yeah. They're tough on themselves, even though right. they do beautiful things and make beautiful work that connect people.
So that's great. That's plenty. What you just told me. So the way I see this is that I have yet to find an industry where someone couldn't look at the thing that they do and turn it into something that is more of a vocation than a job, a calling. Mm-hmm. When I do something from a place of deep calling, then I'm able to interact with the people around me in a completely and totally different way. So in other words, there's probably something out there that's an exception to the rule, but greeting cards is a beautiful example. These are artists that are giving of themselves to the larger world and helping create bonds of connection. Easy. I mean, it's easy for me to connect a deeper meaning to the work that they do. And I know this is going to sound very reductionistic, but I believe that when we find within ourselves something that's connected to love, a way to make the world a place where love can be expanded by the work that we do, and we're driven by that, and our relationships and our interactions and our conversations all are sort of like the foundation of those is somehow increasing that in the world. I know that sounds very like sort of woo-woo and cheesy. And yet at the same time, I believe it to be true, because here's the deal. In the business world, we are about making relationships. We're about making connections. We're trying to provide a service and something that is valuable that improves the lived experience of someone on the other end of the transaction. If I see you as a dollar figure, and I see you as the difference between, you know, my next mortgage payment, you're going to feel that anxiety from me. And you're probably going to be a little bit repulsed by it, or at least turned off by it. Whereas mm-hmm. if I see you as someone with whom I can make a connection, I can share this art, there's something within me that matters, that's a part of the expression of what it means for me to be human, and I can offer this to you and also do a transaction in the process, you feel that energy that is driven by something other than the bottom line, and you're attracted yes. to the thing that I'm offering you. And you feel that and you want to be around me. You want more of that thing. It's a very energetic kind of thing, but I tell you what, it works every single time. And so if the foundation of the work that I do is grounded in this passion, in this vocation, this sense of calling, then I can actually do the business transacting, but I don't feel shameful about it. I'm not embarrassed about it. I can even be okay if somebody says no, because it's not about me. Like right. I already know that what I do matters and it changes lives and it helps a lot of people. I'm already like that decision has been made already inside of me. The only time I really struggle when I'm in this kind of a transaction is if I'm not sure myself if what I'm doing matters. And I need mm-hmm. you to tell me that. And then you're probably gonna, whatever you do will help me for the moment. But then I have to like, but then it all kind of goes away and I have to go to the next person. And I'm like seeking validation over and over and over again, exuding this anxious energy, turning people off, becoming this self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas on the flip side, if I already have this assured and it's not about me proving myself because I already know that I'm bringing something beautiful into the world, even if you reject me, I don't see that as a rejection. I see that as a timing issue or something about you. I'm not worried about it. And I go on to the next thing because I have this energy about me that knows that what I bring into the world is good. And the beautiful thing is those folks actually make a lot of money. Yeah. Not because they're like greedy for it, but it's just, it's the natural outcome of someone who has this philosophy of love and abundance. Yes. It's the natural outcome of it. So
my mind is spinning in a few different directions mm-hmm. because I'm thinking about everything you said from the point of view of my clients mm-hmm. and community members. And then I'm thinking about it also from my perspective. Like mm-hmm. I absolutely try to always lead from a place of generosity yeah. with a focus on impact. And I know that the impact I make on my community members is going to look very different. For one, it might be increase in revenue. For another, it might be that they expand their product line. Like, the impact is going to change based on the situation. And I think it's important for our listeners and those making products to realize that the things you're bringing into the world have a deeper purpose. And I think too, one of the things you said, it's not personal. So if somebody passes on your product or says now is not the right time, that is something that many in my community take personally.
For sure.
But what you're saying is if we know our true value and the impact we're making, that removes a little bit of that. Am I understanding that correctly?
100%
of the personal feelings.
Yes. Yes. And I think I remember, I feel like it was on one of the SPI podcasts that I listened to where Pat Flynn said something like, entrepreneurs stink at math. And I was like, what does he mean by that? And he said, because you can have 500 people tell you that you're great and two people tell you that they don't like you. And we do not remember the 500 people that tell us that we're great. We only think about all of the reasons why we need to, you know, focus on and sort of be consumed by the two people that tell us that we're not. And yet I would take that even just a little step further, Katie, which is this. At some point in time, I shouldn't be even impacted by the 500 any more than I am the two, because the only one that ultimately matters is how am I experiencing myself and the gifts I give the world? Because at the end of the day, if I really need your validation, even though there may be 500 of you, and if me feel good, I'm held hostage to the whims of your mood today.
Yeah.
And so to be needing either your validation or, and grateful for it, or like addicted to it, or to be sort of overcome by the couple of haters, both of those are actually dangerous positions. There's nothing wrong with being appreciated and validated, and we all like it. But the best place to be is actually in a neutral place of self-acceptance and knowing that what we do and bring to this world is our unique job, journey, responsibility, our version of how we are creating something beautiful in this world as our own vision, purpose, and mission. When that is decided, then these transactions and whether, you know, and the rejection, certainly, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's always tomorrow. There's always some other person who will respond because they are positioned and they're ready for the thing that I want, and they'll feel my energy and they'll feel my love. And so it's just one of those things where things that used to really like consume and upset us, they just fall away because our whole perspective we're no longer questioning our worthiness and our value based on the next transaction.
Mm-hmm. I love this. I have definitely fallen victim to, you know, the 500 positive things and the one negative eats at me. And I know my audience does too. So I'm going to get some deep on that after this episode airs. But do you think that falls in alignment with some of what people talk about when they talk about imposter syndrome too?
Well, I think imposter syndrome I think when we're early on in our, whatever our professional endeavor is, there's always a learning curve.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think imposter syndrome is a little bit inevitable. And I think there's a part of that that we ought to just give ourselves grace and recognize that we're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable doing something that we've never done before. And the good news is that's all that any learning endeavor actually ever is, right? I mean, a baby learning how to walk could conceivably have the imposter syndrome of a walker, right? Until they become someone who walks, and then they move on to the next thing. Yeah. And as young people, they don't heap a lot of shame on themselves for being on a learning curve. Whereas those of us who have the courage to be entrepreneurs, we are going to be especially vulnerable to the imposter syndrome, because by definition, an entrepreneur is a brave person trying to do something different that nobody has done quite the same way that we're doing it. And so it's going to be very, very scary, because we're treading a new path that no one has tread quite the same way as we are before. And so to expect ourselves to not feel very frightened and vulnerable would be foolish. Now, as a matter of fact, I would say in my coaching and counseling, it's like, if you didn't feel that way, I would be a little bit alarmed.
Right?
Yeah. It should feel scary. It's normal. It's natural. You're on track. You're okay. Just take it in and accept yourself just as you are and metabolize that anxiety, because that's the kind of anxiety, the imposter syndrome anxiety can be actually very, very progressive, meaning that it's the anxiety that comes when we are treading, like we're doing something bold and brave.
Mm-hmm.
And to like let ourselves be okay with that and not be frightened of the fact that we're frightened, because
yeah.
it means we're doing something scary and bold and brave. And so I think that's actually something we just need to like, just we need to tweak what it means. We need to reframe the experience itself. And as soon as I think sometimes when I talk to my people that I coach and I work with about this, all of a sudden there's like, oh, I don't need to be like ashamed or worried about this. Like I'm normal and I'm a badass and I'm amazing. And
yeah.
it's like, yes, you are. All of those things. And it's like, okay, well then I can just live in this feeling and recognize that it's okay and it's normal. So,
and I can celebrate. I can celebrate
yes.
the fact that I'm being brave and bold and doing things in my own way, not necessarily
yes.
following these, you know,
yes.
roadmaps I'm supposed to follow as an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
I love how you've reframed that. Thank you for sharing that with us. You
mm-hmm.
know, tell our audience, you've talked about how you have these different coaching programs and one-on-one mm-hmm. opportunities. Mm-hmm. Can you tell our audience more about how they can work with you, and then we'll tell them where to go?
Sure, you bet. So I have an online community that is an open forum, meaning that anybody can join and it can grow as big as it is able to grow. That's called exhaustedgen.com. It's associated with my podcast called Generation Exhausted with an X, so not an E. So it's Generation and then X, H-A-U-S-T-E-D. And then that is basically, I have a weekly face-to-face gathering with all the members of that community. And we talk about all the issues basically that we've been talking about today. Basically, it's called a burnout community because that was the simplest way to market it, because talking about the way I have deepened it and broadened it is very hard to do on Instagram very quickly.
Yes.
But there's like so much depth to the thing that I talk with people about, and they're constantly and consistently blown away by how much more beautiful this is than I think they thought they were getting themselves into. Because mm-hmm. I go so much deeper because of my psychology background. So there's that I am happy for anybody to join. Something else that comes up for me though is this other professional group that I run has about 14 people in it. If your community is interested, I would be open to starting a whole separate group if I had enough interest. And so I would just say,
cool.
if you're, yeah, just for your very like niche market, if they want more of what I offer, I'm happy to give an hour a week to that. And so that would be, if you're interested, just catch me at info@valeriehammaker.com, or you can get me on Facebook, Valerie Hammaker. So
fantastic. Yeah. We will include all of those links in the show notes so people can reach out to you and connect with you. Valerie, yeah. This was enlightening. You know, we hear these buzzwords online, maybe with our therapist to some degree, maybe with our, you know, colleagues or whatever it is. And I feel like you have taken a completely different approach to how you see some of these things and how we can go about stepping more positively into our businesses and our lives. So thank you for sharing with us today. This was really enriching and I appreciate your time.
Well, I'm very touched by what you just said, Katie, because that's exactly my vision, my goal, my purpose, my mission, my ministry. So I'm grateful that it came through that way because that's who I'm trying to become here in this world and in our entrepreneurial space as well. So thank you.
I love that. Big thanks to Valerie for joining me today. We'll include her links in the show notes so that you can listen to her podcast and inquire about her services or coaching programs if you're interested. I really appreciated her sharing her perspective and insight on these difficult to navigate topics. Oftentimes as entrepreneurs, we feel like we're the only one that's experiencing something. But listening to Valerie's examples and hearing her talk about burnout and boundaries and the impact we can make, it really resonated with me personally. And also, it's things that I commonly hear from our community members. So I hope that it will help you too in your business journey. I appreciate you listening until the end. If you found today's episode helpful, I want to ask you to do two things. One, share this episode with a friend who would benefit from listening and hearing Valerie's advice. And two, head to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. These reviews and ratings help us bring you high-quality guests here on the show, which is my goal. I want to provide you with just amazing insight and support through this free podcast. So if you could leave that rating and review, I would appreciate it. All right, guys, have a wonderful week, and I'll be back soon with a new episode.